Amen. Glory to God. God is good. And all the time. I don't know about you, I think we just go home. I think we already had good enough, you know. I went, church right there, amen. 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 We can have dessert. Here we go. I believe that the Lord gave me a word for you this morning. Amen. Word of encouragement. Amen? Amen? Say, I'll receive that. Me too. Me too. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this time we get to come together. And Lord, we just thank you that you're so good and merciful. And we just come in your courts with thanksgiving and praise. And Father, we know where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us, and we welcome you here this morning. Holy Spirit, flow through our lives and open our ears and open our soul to you, Lord, that we can see you and we can hear you and we can feel you and that a tangible presence is here this morning. Give me the words this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. And I want to read the whole book, or the whole chapter, the whole book. Hey. All right. Psalm chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95. No, I won't read the whole book of Psalms to you. Chapter 1, verse 1. I'm reading today out of the New Living Translation in case you're following along or you're following along with our app. I do want to put a plug in there. We do have an app through what's called Faith Life, and if you download that app and sign up, you can follow along with the app on your phone. It will take you to this little screen. It'll give you the scriptures, and you can poke on that, and it can pop right up on your phone, and you can partake, if you get here early enough, you can partake in the quizzes that happen in the beginning of service. They're kind of fun. Peter and I have a blast kind of challenging each other. But anyway, if you have that, it's available for you. Just if you don't know what you're doing with apps and stuff like that, Peter and I can help you if that's something you're interested in. But Psalm 95 says this. It says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord your God is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hand the depth of the earth and the mightiest mountain. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today, the Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did in Meribah, as they did at Massa in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years I was angry with them and said, they are a people whose hearts will turn away from me. They refuse to do what they tell them, and so in my anger I took oath, they will never place rest. And if we know the story of the Israelites, they had a hard time. They had a hard time. And I read this because something has been, I heard something a few weeks ago in one of the devotions that I do daily. And it says this. It says, worry less, worship more. And in that, it struck a chord with me because sometimes, I don't know about you, I can be a little bit of a worrier. I don't know about you. I know that everybody's perfect except me. And that's a good thing. But sometimes we worry, amen? Sometimes we worry about things. And in reading about worry, it's likened to things like fear. And I'm not talking about scary, like, oh, you scared me. I'm talking about fear of the unknown. I'm talking about being anxious and having anxiety. and worrying about things. How many of us today are in that boat? Well, let's get out of it. Amen? As Nina stated before, in worship, the purpose of our worship is to celebrate. So we can worry less and worship more. In Acts, if you read the book of Acts, they worship together in the temple courts. They come together and they worship their God. We come together on Sunday mornings to worship our God. They call it worship service. We come together one day a week, maybe two, all together as one body to do what? To worship our God. Psalm 95 talks about songs, shouts, gratitude, praises. Praises that erupt from the gathered people around worshiping our God. This morning, as we sang songs, we shouted, we clapped, we praised. Some people danced, even if it was in there like this. They came together, gathered to worship our King. Amen? We do the same. We do the same. Now, I want to say in the biblical words, all right, in the biblical, there are examples of being still. There are examples of being silent, right? And there are examples and times where we need to be silent and still. But there are times we need to dance. There are times we need to shout. There are times that you just need to stop worrying about what you're worrying about and just scream out the name of Jesus. There are those times, and I'll tell you what, more often than not, when you're reading the Word, there's more of those times than there are of the silent times. Amen? Because we need to stop worrying about life and just live it the way God told us to live it and worship Him. Now, I'm saying this because there's examples in my life about worry. And I don't know about you, but I worry about some things. Well, I'm striving not to. Because it doesn't do me any good. And I'll tell you right now, it doesn't do you any good to worry about things that you have no control over. Amen. And let me tell you something. In the Word, there are more examples of what they call ruckus worship. They cause a ruckus. You know what that means? Ooh, boy. It's like dancing, shouting, whatever. Whatever it is you feel like doing, that's a ruckus. It's caused a ruckus. Amen. Let's do that. There's more of those examples than this. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Sometimes we need that, but I'm telling you what. Sometimes we just need to stop what we're doing and stop this and start this. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Because God is good. Yeah. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus. Are you with me, church? We're going to look at Exodus in chapter 17, but in the Word, it talks about a hardened heart. Have we heard this before? Don't harden your heart, or this Pharaoh had a hardened heart. Yes? Well, some of us have hard hearts, I think. A hardened heart is as useless as a hardened lump of clay. Or a hard loaf of bread. Have you ever had a hard loaf of bread? What do you do with it? Like, for real. What do you do with it? You pretty much throw it away, cast it off to the side, say, ooh, that's too hard for me. Right? Some of you give it to birds. That's great. Bless your heart. I would venture to guess most of us are like, that's not supposed to be that hard. That's bread. Right? A hardened heart is as useless as a hardened loaf of bread. Nothing can restore it and really make it useful. There's a warning in our scripture about hardened hearts. And I want to read this, Exodus 17, verse 7. It says, Moses named the place Massa, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? I think this is an example of the Israelites hardening their heart. Maybe the beginning. Is God here or not, Moses? Come on. Doesn't seem like it. Looks to me like they got so convinced that God couldn't deliver them, and they simply lost faith in him. And that's hardening your heart, where you convince yourself that God is not in your life, and you convince yourself that there's no way he's going to intervene in your life. And so you ask the question, God, where are you? God, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? What's going on in my life? I can't believe that you would let this happen to me. How many of us have said those things before? Amen? When people become so stubborn and set in their ways, they harden their hearts to God. God, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it, so I'm going to go this way, and if you're not with me, then you're not with me. We get so stubbornly set in our ways that we don't make room for God. And this doesn't happen all at one time. It's a result of a series of choices that we make disregarding God. It doesn't happen once, right? But it happens after the second time, and after the third time, and after the fourth time, and after the fifth time, that we disregard God in what he has planned for your life, and we go with what we plan for our life. And then we get into that worrying, fear, anxiety. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. Blah, 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 blah. If you resist God long enough, if you become hardened like bread, then there's, be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word. Not harden your heart and not be able to do anything. Amen? Let's turn in your word to 1 Peter. And say amen when you get to 1 Peter. If you have your phones, I'm sure you got there already. Unless you have, never mind. 1 Peter chapter 5. Amen, huh? God is good? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. First Peter chapter 5. Let's read first 14 verses. It says, and now, a word to you who are elders in the church. I too am an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock and God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord over people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when a good shepherd appears, that's Jesus, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. Verse 5, it says, in the same way, you younger men who accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. Verse 6 says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. So humble yourselves, so stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. So in this kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. And so after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. I like how it puts here and says, so after you suffer a little bit, after you go through this life and have some issues and have some problems and just go through life, don't worry about that stuff, because what does he say here? It says he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Verse 12 says, I have written and sent a short letter to you, the help of Silas, to whom I command to you as a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that what you're experiencing is truly part of God's grace to you. Stand firm in grace. And verse 13 says, your sister church here in Babylon sends greeting, and so does Mark. Greet each other with Christian love. Peace be with all of you who are in Christ. Pastor Calvin talked about peace at the beginning of the service. Who does peace come from? Where does peace come from? The Prince of Peace. And peace brings us joy. It brings peace. Peace brings us the power to stand when things are coming at you. Amen? Because we don't have to worry about it. Because we already know God has it under control. So there's no need to worry. All we have to do is worship, praise, sing songs, dance, clap, shout that God is good. Living a life of praise is not only the most enjoyable thing, but it's also the most powerful. Living a life of praise and worship, living a life of praise and worship to your King is enjoyable because you don't have to worry about it. And it brings so much power because of who's on the inside of you. And through your praise, we sing a song, my praise is a weapon. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because we serve the mighty God, and we worship the mighty God, the one true God, the big G. Praise isn't the caboose that follows what happens. It's the engine that makes things happen. Amen? It's the engine that makes things happen. Worship, praise, giving glory and giving honor to God isn't the caboose that you do when things go right. It's that when they're going wrong, we praise God, and it's the engine to make it right. It's the engine to make it be. It's the engine to make it be good for our lives. It's the engine that gets us through the tunnel. Amen? Your faith isn't complete without praise. Your faith isn't complete without worship. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says, let your roots grow down deep, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving. You grow when we partake in thanksgiving. We grow, we become higher to a higher level when we worship, not when we worry. When we worry, we pound these things on us that brings us down and down and down and down and down. But when we worship, we break through that, moving on up. Praise affects you. The cool thing about it affects the devil too. And the cool thing about it affects God. It touches everything and every part of your life. On the flip side, a life lack of praise affects you as well, too. It affects you in a negative way. It affects you so much that it turns the devil loose on you. A life lacking in praise does not bless God. You have to get this area right in your life. Praise goes up. Glory comes down. Amen? When your praise and worship goes up, God sends the rain of His power and His blessings. When talking to a lot of people think praise and worship is good. Praise and worship is good. Singing songs is good. Praising God and thanks and giving thanks to God is good. But I think very few actually feel like they should participate in that. That praise is good. Yes, praise is good. Then let's clap. Let's shout. Let's dance. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's wave our hands. Let's get crazy. Let's cause a ruckus. Amen? Come on, people. You're serving the God of everything. You should, David danced his clothes off. I'm not saying you should dance naked, but darn it, you understand what I'm saying. I don't think it would matter. I don't think it really would matter if you started going crazy and your clothes came off, because people would be focused on you going crazy. But that's a good thing. When we're praising and we're worshiping and we're thanking God, I think all we can do is dance. Dance, dance, dance. Sing, sing, sing. Praise, praise, praise. Clap, clap, clap. Whatever. Amen? Amen. Come on now. Let's be real. You want something in your life? You need something in your life? Knock. You want something? Worship God. You need an intervention in your life? I'm here to dance, Lord. I'm here to worship. I'm here to raise my hand. I'm here to clap. I'm here to sing until I can't sing anymore. Amen. Let's turn to John, the book of John. The Lord Jesus told his disciples that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And he also told them on the night before his crucifixion, in John 14, verse 1, says this, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." This wasn't a suggestion. He was speaking to his disciples on the night before he would hang on that cross. And he said, "Look, people, don't let your hearts be troubled." I could just imagine the night before he goes to crucified, all those human beings in there were kind of scared, worried, fearful of what was going to happen the next day and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that when Jesus wasn't around anymore. "Oh, no, don't go, Jesus. We need you here." Jesus said, "Look, man, don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me." This wasn't a suggestion, people. This was a command. It was a command. Jesus knew they were worried about it. They would talk to him about it. "Jesus, why do you have to go? Don't go." He said, "Look, man, I got to. Don't worry about it, though. It's all going to be okay. Trust me." He's speaking to you and me. Right now, he's speaking to you and me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't sweat it. Put your trust in me, and I'll be okay. In the same book, chapter 16, John chapter 16, that night, the night before Jesus was crucified, when they're about to leave and go their separate ways, Jesus talks to his disciples and he leaves them with a promise. In verse 33, it says, I told you all of this stuff so that you may have peace in me. He told us all of these things about himself and all of the power and the Holy Spirit that's going to come after he leaves, so that you can have peace in your life and not worry about the things that come and go. Because that's what it does. It comes and it goes. To not worry about those things, to have peace in him. He said, be of good cheer. Cheer up, people. Cheer up. He told his disciples, he's telling you and me, no matter what we go through in life, cheer up. Be full of joy. Be full of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he overcame the enemy. That's why. You think the enemy's coming at you like a flood? Well, when he comes in like a flood, guess what happens? We raise up a standard against the enemy. How do we do that? Worship, praise. My praise, your praise is a weapon. A weapon against the enemy. Amen? We live in a fairly negative world. Yeah? Bad things happen all the time. It's a fallen world, if you didn't know. And as we go, as we live on our life, it seems like it just gets more ungodly. We hear so much negative stuff, and we almost have to make a deliberate effort to make things positive. Well, praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon against all that negativity. Your worship is a weapon against all this junk that the world is trying to spew at you. You're not good enough. You can't do this. You're not going to find this. You can blah, 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 blah. This person, that and that, and this and that. I could go on all day about negative stuff that we hear day in and day out at your job, at school, whatever. It don't matter. Praise is your weapon. Elevate, raise up the standard of your praise. When things look like they're down here, raise up higher. Stand up. Stand up and say, no, 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 no. I have my weapon. My weapon is praise. And I'm going to give God all I got, everything I got. I'm going to sing. I'm going to say, thank you, God, even when I don't feel like it. Because praise is a weapon. Praise affects you. Praise affects the enemy. Let's turn to Philippians. Okay. Philippians. If I can find it, huh? Say hallelujah when you get to Philippians, chapter 4. If someone were to pass out right now. Right now. I'm going to venture to guess the first thing we do is probably check a pulse. All right? Let's check the pulse. See if the heart's beating. In the same sense, checking our praise lives is how we check our spiritual pulse. If we don't live lives that are constantly in thanksgiving and praise, we are not spiritually healthy. And I'm going to say this, some people might take offense to that. And that's okay. But let's read here in Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord always. My version says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord." And I say it again, rejoice. There's a song, I'm sure most of you know it. It goes, I don't want to sing it, but it says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice, right? Right? There's a reason why I don't sing. I play guitar. She always makes fun of me when I sing, so that's why I don't sing. Love you. Paul didn't say it one time. He said it twice. He didn't say rejoice as a, hey, you know what? Just praise God. Just praise God. He said, no, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoice. You know, I think sometimes we downplay some words and some meaning of words and the thickness and what it really means to rejoice. To rejoice is to be joyful again. Rejoice, to rejoice, 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 always rejoicing in the Lord. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. And he said it again. Again, hey, if you didn't hear me, rejoice. He didn't want anybody in this situation or in any situation to think he made a mistake by saying rejoice. So he wanted to just make sure, and he said it again. Yeah. You know how we play that telephone game? And it goes around, and you know, all by the end, it's like some weird thing, right? Well, he made sure to make sure that everybody knew, hey, rejoice. Rejoice. Pass that around, right? And it comes back to him as rejoice. Rejoice. Let's turn to the book of Acts. We're supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord. It's a command, people. It's a command, church, to rejoice. And then again. And then again. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Paul lived and preached, well, he lived what he preached. When he was beaten, when he was thrown down in the deepest, darkest dungeon, rejoice. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, we're going to read a few verses starting in verse 22. It says this, "A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods." That's a tough situation. I don't know about any of you, I've never been beaten with a rod. I don't know. I'm sure it doesn't feel good. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown in prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they did not escape, so the jailer put them into inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, I don't know about any situation you've been, but these guys were in jail, shackled. And praised God. Praised God. Now, read on. It says, suddenly, well, let's read verse 25 first. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. People heard. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison shook. The prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Woo! So they were in jail, shackled, beaten, They didn't whine about it. They didn't cry about it. They praised God. And what happened? Boom, 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 earthquake, shackles off. Rejoice. The jailer woke up to see the prisoner's doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. Oh no, they're all gone. And verse 28 says, but Paul shouted to him, stop. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. We're praising the Lord. I didn't know. Now, praising the Lord wasn't in the Bible, but that's what they were doing. They were praising the Lord. And the jailer, he was so distraught because he thought he lost all the prisoners. He was going to kill himself. Paul's like, no, hey, we're all here. We're not leaving. We're just praising God. Paul lived what he preached. He was beaten, thrown in a dungeon, and he still broke out in praise. And they didn't just do it as spiritual warfare, as, oh God, get me out of here, oh yeah. Not just as spiritual warfare against the enemy, but they broke out in praise. That God is good. They weren't praising God through gritted teeth. God, I love you, God. Oh. Just to get out of their problem. When they were set free, they didn't even leave. Imagine that. They're praising God so much that they didn't even, everything broke out and they were, there's the door. But they stayed there praising God. They praised God. Because they loved him. They praised God because they loved him. In their situation, they could have cursed God. They could have prayed, oh God, get me out of here. I can't believe I'm in here. Oh my gosh, oh, blah, blah, blah. Whining like that. But no, they praised God because they loved him. I'm sure we go through similar things. They worship God through a pure heart. It so affected the other prisoners that none of them left. Their praise was so powerful that nobody left. They just stayed there. His presence in that place was so thick and so tangible that nobody wanted to leave. Nobody wanted to leave. It was so powerful. I can just imagine that. You can just taste it. That was so good. Like a dessert. You just want to eat it up. Praise caused revival. Amen? You need a revival in your life? Praise. Not because you technically want that revival, because you just love God so much that you know when you praise him, things happen. Amen? When you praise God, things happen. And you know what? We may not feel joyful all the time. Amen? I mean, maybe you do. I don't. Not all the time. I'm trying to. Rejoice. And again, rejoice. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. You know, I can guarantee you not anybody in here is joyful all the time, yes? All right, that's good. We may not feel joyful all the time, but the scripture tells us that a fruit of the Spirit is joy. Verse 22 in chapter 5 says this, but the Holy Spirit, who has the Holy Spirit? If you're a believer, you got the Holy Spirit, produces this kind of fruit in your lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have joy. But we have to choose To be joyful. Paul said it. Hey, rejoice. Probably because people weren't. And they were saying, what do we do? What do we do? Rejoice and rejoice and rejoice some more. Have joy. Be full of joy. Amen? We may not feel like joy, but we can choose to lift our hands. We can choose to speak praise. We can choose to dance in worship and in praise. We can choose to let all this other stuff go, and we can choose to stand where you're at and praise God for what's going on, and praise God for the goodness that He's going to have in your life. We can choose to do that. You chose this morning to wake up, do your hair, brush your teeth, come to church. You can choose to praise God in every other situation as well. Amen? You can choose God to praise God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can choose God to pray. You can choose to praise Him at 6 in the morning or 6 at night. You can choose to pray God whenever you choose to pray God. Amen? Amen? Learning to praise God even when everything is going bad will change your heart. I'm not going to show hands, but if you're going through something right now, if you're going through something, learning to praise God even when everything is going bad changes your heart. It makes everything that you're about more effective. As we read before, it causes your faith to abound. It causes your faith to grow when we praise God. When we don't praise God, people, you don't abound, which means you don't grow. We're not growing. We're probably being pounded on with things and down and down and down. But when the praise goes up, His glory comes down. Amen? We have to accept the responsibility that we have to choose joy, choose to praise, choose to worship in the storm. We have to choose to walk through it, and not stay in it. Praise will get you through it and onto a new level. Amen? Let's turn to Philippians again. We have to accept responsibility because you're not just elevated animals that respond to stimulus, that respond out of instinct. You were created in God's own image. You were created in the image of God. We can choose to say that we're going to give thanks to God. We can choose to rejoice. But until we do, we're going to be a victim. Until we choose to praise and to thank God all the time, we're going to be victims to our own worry and our own fears and our own anxieties. And we will never be victors. Until we quit being victims. You will never get to that place if you always are asking God to come, if you're always thinking and worrying about, what do I do next? What do I do? What's happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Why? Me? We're never going to get to that place where we overcome if we keep the mentality that, oh my gosh, why is this happening to me? You only get to that next place when we break through and overcome. And that's by praise and worshiping God. By praise and worship. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He does. In verse 7, it keeps going and it says, then you will experience God's peace. Imagine that. Imagine that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank Him for it. Praise Him for it. Worship Him for it. And then guess what? It says, then you'll experience God's peace. You need peace in your life? You need to not worry about things? Guess what? It says here, don't worry about it. Pray about it. Tell God everything you need and let Him deal with it. Then you're going to experience His peace. Amen. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds all understanding. We don't understand it. We let God deal with it because we don't understand it. Amen? We stop worrying about it, like trying to think about it, trying to understand why is this going on. You ain't going to find an answer why it's happening. I'll tell you why it's happening. The devil's trying to get at you. So we praise God, we worship God, we tell Him what we need, and we unleash the power of praise and worship. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus gave us the perfect example to bring your requests to God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13 says this, pray like this. Pray like this. Jesus said, hey, you don't know what to pray? Pray like this. It says, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to our temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. In verse 14 it says, and at the end of that, on some versions it says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. He finished his prayer by praising God. For thine is the kingdom, Lord. For yours is the glory, Lord. For yours is the power, Lord, forever. Amen. Amen. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it right there. That's the way to do it. Praise. If we start praising God in the middle of our problems will shrink. Praise is not the byproduct that comes from doing right things. Praise is the driving force. Praise gets your focus where it needs to be. Worship gets you focused on what you need. And then our problems will shrink. Our problems will shrink. Matthew 6:34 says this. It says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles are enough for today. Don't worry. Don't worry. God will work it out. Don't worry about what's happening in your life today. Pray to God like Jesus told us. Give Him all of your stuff. Lay it at the altar. Lay it at His feet. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for the outcome. Praise, worship, let Him deal with it because He already can handle that. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to waste our time here on earth thinking about all those things. We got a problem? We take it to God? Praise Him for it. Praise Him for it. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. It doesn't say, give all your worries to yourself, and God's just going to sit back and do nothing. It doesn't say that. It says, give your worries. Give your cares. Give your junk, right? Give your stuff. Because He cares for you, He'll take care of it. Amen? He knows where to put that trash. Amen. I'm going to read from the book of Luke 29, chapter 12, 29 through 32, but I'm going to read it from the Message. It says this. Says what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Not to be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how He works. Steep yourself in God's reality, God initiative, God provisions, and you'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Now, I find myself sometimes getting stressed about situations. I'm sure most of you do as well. The past year and a half of my life has been kind of stressful for me. I'm a little bit of a, I don't know, Nina probably tell you, I need to know what's going on. Schools, with kids going to school, you know, you want to pick the best school for your kids, so you're thinking about what schools to take your kids in, right? There's been some other job opportunities that have come my way, and Nina changed the job and things like that, And of course, if you know us fairly well, there's been some house things going on for the past year and a half, and I've found myself stressed, worried, fearful. I would think about not having a house for my family or not providing the right house that my wife and my kids would love to have, you know? I would stress about where we're going to live and what that would look like. And is the house going to be a good fit for my family? And is the job going to be supportive enough that we can do the things that we do? And are we going to find what we want to find? Are we going to be able to expand? Are we, you know, what kind of life are we going to have when we move into a new house and things like that? You know, things that can bog you down. And Nina and I would talk about things, and I'd catch myself, but I would be short with her about things and kind of mean sometimes about it. And that's not the way we're supposed to live life. And it's because I was worrying about these things. You know, what do we do if we don't find the right house for us? How do we expand our house to fit what we want to do, you know? And that all takes money. Right? Time and money, and who has all of that? I mean, you know, when you're buying a house and stuff like that, it's what, do you have a down payment, and are you buying a fixer-upper, and upgrade costs, gas, bills, payments, blah, 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 blah. I would get mad. I would get so worried and fearful, I would get mad. And it wasn't at her, it wasn't at the kids, but it came out that way because I was worrying about it. Now, I don't know, I know all you are perfect, but I can sense that some people understand what I'm saying. Sometimes I would complain to Nina, I'm worried about this. Hey, you know, I'm worried about this house stuff. I don't know how we're going to pay for it or whatever, whatever. And reciting the things that I thought would justify me being mad, justify me being worried about it. And sometimes, most times, she would just, yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You're right, yeah. And sometimes I would think she didn't really care. Deep down, I knew I was worrying too much about those things. But I was giving myself a reason, a justified reason to be worried and to be mad and to be fearful and to be anxious about those things when I knew I wasn't supposed to be. But we worry about our kids and our happiness and the situations. But we just went through a whole bunch of stuff today that says we don't have to worry. Now, if you know us, you know that we've been searching for a house and a property. Let me tell you what. When we stopped worrying as a family about what was going to happen, the desires of our heart came true. When we decided to, you know, God, you're going to do what we can't. We're stressing ourselves out too much. We can't do all this stuff, and we're not going to start to do it. So we're going to give it to you. Boom. House opens up. Boom. We make an offer. Boom. The devil tries to come in. The devil tries to come in and steal your joy. The devil came in and tried to steal our joy. But we have somebody who's bigger than the devil. He's a liar. He doesn't have any power whatsoever. The only power he has is what you let him have. He ain't got nothing. He's that small dog that barks, 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 barks. And we're, oh my gosh, it's going to bite me. No. Now, don't do this, but you can just... I said don't do it. But you get me. Yes? Deep down, we were worried about it. And when we trust God because He's in control, He makes all things work out. He makes all things work out. Needless to say, we have a new house. Needless to say, it wasn't even about the size of the house because we wanted to have land to expand. Well, we got it. We got a whole bunch. More than we even probably wanted. But see, God is good, people. God is good. And I don't mean to brag and to gloat about that. I'm gloating and I'm boasting about how good God is. It's not about me, because I didn't do nothing. We didn't do nothing. We let God be God. We let God be God, and God comes through every time. When we think God's not coming through, I bet you ain't focused on God. When we think God isn't in the situation, you ain't focused on Him. When you want God to be in a situation, focus on Him. He'll be there. He'll do it. He'll give you the desires of your heart if you let Him. But you have to let Him. We have to choose to let Him. We have to praise Him and worship Him and glorify Him and all His goodness. And He comes through, people. Amen? He comes through. Jesus told His followers, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the food, the clothing, all this stuff. Don't worry about it. There's no need to worry. Worship me, praise me, and I'll provide for you. And the craziest thing about it is that He provides the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart on the inside, what you desire for real, for truth, He provides those things. I want to go through some scriptures real quick to end. Write these down. Soak them in. These are promises from God to you. In Exodus 14, 13, Moses said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The problems you have today, you will never see again." That's what he's saying. That's what the word is saying to you. The Egyptians were a problem for the Israelites. Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Stand firm because he's with you. 1 Peter 5, 7, we already read, "Cast all your anxiety, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you." Psalm 55, verse 22, "Cast your cares unto the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." I believe that we are the righteousness of the Lord. And if you're righteous, he says he will never let you fall. Philippians 4, 5 through 7 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Amen. Matthew 11, 28. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you're burdened, if you're worried, if you're weary, if you're afraid, if you are anxious, come to him, he says. Come to me. Amen. And I will give you rest. Amen. The Lord is good, people. The Lord is good. And he's good to you. In the beginning, we talked about this phrase that I heard weeks ago. Worry less, worship more. Yes. Worry less, worship more. If we are in worry, and we are in a place that we don't know what's going on, and we don't understand what's happening, it's time to worship. It's time to praise. When we get in those situations, when you get in those situations in which you don't know what's happening, you don't know why it's happening, and you just seem so heavy, lay it all down. Worry less, worship more. Worry less, worship more. Worry less, worship more. Let's stand to our feet. I want us to close our eyes and just right where you're at, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to start worshiping God. Let's practice this, huh? Worship him. Worry less, worship more. Tell him who he is to you. He's your Father. He's your Abba Father. He's your provider. He's your Prince of Peace. tell him who he is to remind you who he is in your life. Yes, Lord, you are my provider, Lord. You are my Prince of Peace, Lord. You are my King. You are my Father. You are my Comforter. You are my joy. You are my peace. Yes, Lord. You are. You are the giver of my heart's desire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Let's just worship him. Let's praise him. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord Jesus, you are. Yes. Yes. You are the water when we are thirsty. Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing satisfies.
Thank you, Jesus. I feel like there's the Holy Spirit is telling me there's a couple of you out there that are worrying about things and situations in your life, and I want to pray with you. If you want to come up here, or I can come to you. If that's you, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.